I appreciate these young folks, and I just have the last three slides I was going to do today, if you will go. We talked about the pain of parenting, and I know that talked about how to have a word of mercy. Felt the presence of the Lord come in a powerful way today and overshadow us, and how that no matter, and I tried to show you, no matter how off track as a child we get or as an adult we get, the Lord has a word of forgiveness and the Lord has a word of mercy. And that becomes, I think, very important for us to remember as our example in the natural, because we should never have nothing but correction for our own families, our children, our spouses, each other. There needs to be an undertone of mercy and an undertone of forgiveness, and to remember that as the man that had the debt, we've been forgiven so much. How could I not be willing to forgive someone else? You know, the Lord has forgiven me $1 trillion. How can I not forgive $5,000? You know, I've been forgiven so much. And to whom much is given or forgiven, even, much is required. And so this sense that there is an undertone of mercy, and I read you some very hard scriptures, if you will, in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and talked to you about Absalom, and yet how in each one of those there was that sense of, Lord, be merciful, and Lord, how are they doing? How is my son Absalom, repeated. And I know it can be painful, and yet, but God has been so kind to all of us. And then to read where the next word, if you will, that if you want to call it a word or an attitude that you have to have in parenting, is the importance of blessing your children, of giving them a blessing, of repeatedly blessing them. And by that, I know they gave that in the Old Testament. There are a lot of examples of a blessing, but it's important even as a grandparent. It's important as your children get older to remember to bless them and tell them what you see in them and who they are and where, why they're alive and what you know, they're able to become, and what God has in store for them, and encourage them, especially when they're in the home, but then even as they get out. And that's an important part of our responsibility as a parent. It's an important part of our responsibility as a child of God. When the Lord told Abraham, that he said, I want to bless you. And what was the phrase that he used? I want through you every nation of the earth to be blessed. By you, I want to bless everyone else. And so I know, you know, we might use the phrase bless them out and whatever. And I probably have been more guilty than I care to admit of when seeing someone who has a bad attitude or who is impatient or on the highway or is intractable, I have a tendency not to use that as my chance to, they need a blessing today. I don't think that. I get personally offended. How dare they pull in front of me? How dare they act that way? I don't use it. And yet the Lord brings people my way that I'm supposed to be a blessing to. I don't like that part of it. And that is, these young ladies talked about the sacrifice, and that is the sacrifice of being a parent and of being part of the family of God. And I know you heard, and Ben got the Holy Ghost last night, and of course you heard these testimonies of these young ladies, and because of your energy, because of you being a blessing, because of you doing something for them, God, you know, and you say, well, you know, it can alter a life. It can alter a lifetime by being a blessing. And so the importance of that sense of blessing, and then, of course, giving honor, and that's why we do, and I do appreciate all of our those that are have helped, and we try to recognize, and we try to give honor, and we try to honor our Sunday school staff, and we try to honor our teachers and the youth, and our those that are involved, and we try to give honor because blessing precedes honor. In other words, you will never be able to honor someone unless you can be a blessing, or unless you bless them. Unless you're thankful, because you see, and you heard these young ladies testify and give honor to what people's lives had meant to them. And you only do that when you feel blessed. You don't give honor to something that you don't feel is a blessing. And so if you can't give honor to somebody, that means that you are being robbed. You don't feel blessed. And so you ought to be able to feel blessed. You ought to be able to feel, I'm thankful for what God has done for me. And I know the first four commandments are to honor God. And that says, no other God, no idols, the name of the Lord, never take it in vain, remember the Sabbath. Those words are there to remind us, those first four commandments. And I know the rest of them talk about lying and cheating and stealing, but those first four are very important, because it says take time to honor God. Because if you don't honor God, you're not feeling blessed by God. And if you're not feeling blessed by God, something's wrong. And so it becomes important that I say, you know, you say, well, it's no big deal whether I'm in church, whether I give, whether I sacrifice. It's not. It's up to me. I can do it. But no, wait a minute. I cannot not give. I cannot not serve Him. I cannot not worship Him. Because He's done so much for me. You know, it becomes a part of being a blessing. I want to honor God because I feel blessed. And I know at times, none of us, you know, we haven't felt blessed. And so it's hard to be a blessing to our spouse. It's hard to give honor because, well, I don't feel blessed, whatever it might be. And yet, that next commandment, the fifth commandment, is to honor your father and mother. And I know, you know, you may say, well, my mom and dad weren't the best. They didn't do this. But you can honor the fact that they got you here, or they gave you life. And then as these young ladies said, who have wonderful parents, but they also said, I want to honor my church family. Why? Because all of a sudden I got new moms and dads, and I have a larger family, and so I'm blessed. And then, of course, all of the other commandments that go with that, those are the absolutes. And then we reach down, and this one of the last words was this sense of commitment. And it's why it becomes important, not only for parents, and it becomes important for our lives. And I understand, I know, and I was talking this morning to some of the young men, and I grew up, my grandfather would, you know, if he ran out of gas at a Texaco station and a Esso station was a mile down the road, he'd push his truck down there and get it filled up. He just wasn't going to put Texaco gas or Phillips 66 gas in his tank. I understand that we've passed that, and our generation, everything changed with regard to that sort of sense of commitment and loyalty and so forth. But if there was ever a time that our children need to see, and we need to have a commitment, not only to the house of God, to live for God, to be faithful to God, to be in the house of the Lord, it's this hour in which we're living. As a matter of fact, I know that things get in the way, and people, you know, there was a story. You read it in Luke, the 9th chapter, in the 57th verse. It starts off, and it says that it came to pass, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you. I will follow you. He was willing to do that. And whithersoever you go. And Jesus turned and said something very unusual to him. He said, foxes have holes. And he said, foxes have holes, birds have air. Where are we? There it is. Birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. Why would Jesus say that to a guy who said, I'll follow you? What the Lord wanted him to understand was this commitment that you're making. I want you to realize it's serious. And it may be cost you. It may be not easy. Make sure you've counted the cost. And I realize sometimes it's easy in the moment, in the heat of the moment. Yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pray 6 hours a day, an hour a day, 10 minutes a day as I'm brushing my teeth. But yet the Lord is looking for people to make commitment no matter what the cost. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but am I willing to associate with a man who may not at some times? And so then it wasn't very long until somebody else came to him. And the Lord, this first man said, I'll follow you. And then the Lord asked the next one, he said, follow me? And what did this man say? But Lord, first allow me to bury my father. Now, that's not a bad thing. You're a child and bearing a parent. But you have to remember, probably the parent wasn't even dead yet. Because it wasn't like a 7-day thing. He was saying, my dad's getting older and I'm going to wait till I bury him. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And what was the Lord basically saying? If you're really going to be committed to me, number one, you have to count the cost. Number two, the hardships and unexpected difficulties don't matter. You got to do it right now. You can't wait for a convenient time. You know, you can say, well, as soon as I get out of college, I'm going to live for God. Or as soon as I get married, I'm going to live for God. Or as soon as I get this, you can't do that. You may have to make a personal commitment. I'm going to live for God, whether I'm 9, whether I'm 19, whether I'm 49. I'm going to make a commitment to live for God. And you can always argue, well, I don't have that, it's too hard. Right now, I've got to personally grieve. So the Lord basically, the next one, the third one came up, and he said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said again something very hard. It's almost amazing how hard the Lord's response was to. If somebody came to me tomorrow and says, Pastor, I think I want to go to church. I want to live for God. I don't know that I would say, foxes have holes. You sure you're really interested in that? I mean, I say, great, what can we do? We'll try to help you. Somebody else came up and I said, you need to come to church. They go, well, but right now I need to bury my father. I probably wouldn't say, let the dead bury the dead. You need to live for God today. That's what Jesus said. In other words, sometimes people get the feeling that, well, it's about me. I want to tell you, living for God is not about you. He that cometh to God not only must believe that he is and he is a rewarder, but you got to take up your cross and follow, deny yourself. And here he said, you know, let the dead bury the dead. And then the third one, he goes, well, just let me go home and bid them farewell which are at my house. And you know how Jesus responded to that? He said, no man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know, probably no gardeners in here, no major field turnovers, but if you drive a tractor or a tiller or whatever in your garden, you cannot plow a garden looking behind you. Or the rows will be like this. You know, you have to set your sight on a marker. You got to see where you've been. You've got to follow that line. And Jesus says to this guy, he said, I just want to go home and tell them all goodbye. And you know how the Lord said? He said, you're not fit. You can't. Why? Because in this hour, if we're going to be committed to God and we're going to say, I'm going to have, you know, I'm committed to living for God. Let me tell you, there is no point in ever going, I'm going to look back. I wonder if I did this right. I wonder what I missed out of life. I wonder what I could have had. I wonder, I have seen people that have been sad, depressed, whatever word you want to use, all their life because they believe, I could have, if I would have tried out for the Yankees, or if I would have done this, and they constantly look back at what they think they could have had. If my parents, if I'd have had the opportunities that they had, if I would have had what they had, and where are you looking? When it comes to living for God, you have to make up your mind, I'm starting here and I'm going forward that way. I know you received the Holy Ghost several years ago at an Esther Joseph conference, and that's wonderful. But you know, at some point you can't go back and say, what could have my life been? What should have? I go forward every day. I wake up and I say, I put my hand to the plow. I am going, this is what I'm going to do. As Joseph, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to live for God. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what it may have looked like I could have been. You know what? And I can sit at home and I can think, I wonder what would have happened if I would have gone a different course, or if I would have. But you know, at some point you say, Lord, you're leading and guiding me every step of the way. I want to put one foot in front of the other. I can't turn around and say, well, if I'd have kept that job, if I'd have bought that stock, if I would have purchased that piece of land, if I, you know what? I'm doing my best to live for God every day and put another foot forward. Why? I've made up my mind. I'm committed to him, and I want him to bring in and give me what I have need of, and open the doors that he needs to open, and make a way where he sees. I'm not committed to my direction, but I'm committed to his direction. And his direction, I don't turn around and look and wish that I would have done something different. If I'd have married someone else, if I'd have had different things. Yeah, no, it is that every day I'm thankful for where I am today, and I'm saying, Lord, I want you to carry me forward another day. That's my commitment. The Lord told him, he said, you can't even go home and say goodbye. You have to let it go. Another place, he sounded almost offensive when he said, unless you hate mother, father, sisters, brothers. What does that mean? Unless you hate them. What he was saying is that no other relationship can be more important than serving God. That's why he started out the commandments. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Honor him. Spend time with him. Don't take his name in vain. He went through all of those universal, absolute truth commandments were to say, I need you to be committed to him. And I am thankful. I am thankful for these young folks that are starting that journey. I'm thankful for all of you seniors, moms and dads that have made a commitment. Oh, I know you can say, well, it doesn't do for me. It's not there. You know what? It's not about what it does for me. It's about, am I here to praise the Lord? Am I here to give honor to God? I made a commitment one day to serve the Lord until I die. And I'm going to serve the Lord until I made that kind of commitment. I counted the cost. I saw I'm getting the blessing. I also recognized that, you know what? There's no other situation that I am more important than this, and I'm not turning around now. Let's stand. Hallelujah. In fact, let's come. I appreciate all of these that came to the Esther Conference. I want them to come first, and we're going to join in behind them, and we're going to pray for them. Pray for all of these young folks, and all of those, in fact, all of those that are in the hyphen age, all of these that are in, even if you didn't come to this meeting, I want you to come. We're going to pray for you, parents, grandparents. We're going to gather in behind them. Oh, hallelujah. This is a lifetime commitment. This is a lifetime commitment.